Amen.
Luke chapter number 14, where we're taking our reading from, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." Now here, look, we got to look at the Pharisees, and we got to see them for who they are. The Pharisees were religious leaders, and they wanted to be godly. They wanted a presence of God around them, but they wanted to spend their time in the law, in the do's and the don'ts, and the religion. And I don't feel like our church is, this may sound weird, is a very religious church at all. And you say, what do you mean? I don't think that as a congregation that we are a church that are about do's and don'ts. We're not about being legalistic with our thoughts and our ideas. And I just put it bluntly, we don't care about what the church up the road thinks about us or what the church down the road thinks about us. We want to please God with what we do, and we want to bind together with our brother and sister churches. You know, we're not against them by any frame of the imagination, but, you know, just if they want to say that we do things wrong or whatever, that's okay as long as we got clearance with God to do what we're doing. I'm not concerned about what other churches are doing. I want to be brothers and sisters in Christ the way that we're supposed to be, all for our common goal, and that is to see other people come to know Jesus Christ. But I don't think we're a very legalistic church at all. You're not going to come here and find a sign up in the back that says women can't wear pants, and you're not going to find that men shouldn't have long hair and all that. I believe that once you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you have something on the inside of you that lets you know the do's and the don'ts, that's not my responsibility to do that. But here are the Pharisees. They were all about the do's and the don'ts. They were all about, well, you can do this, you can't do that. And they wanted to be godly, and they wanted to have an appearance of being really close to God. But we find several instances in the Word of God, and especially through the Gospels, where Christ would point out just how far away from God's will they really were. And as we get into Luke chapter number 14, the Bible tells us that Jesus has gone to eat with the Pharisees. And it would be my guess, and I'm just inferring this, the Bible doesn't say this, that they probably invited him to come eat with them. That they wanted him around. They wanted to see, man, this is a great man. They've seen him do miracles, and they've seen him do different things. And they probably wanted him around, and they was trying to figure him out. So they invited, but I want you to notice what the Bible says, and they watched him. They was waiting to see if he would mess up. They were waiting to see if he was going to do something wrong. And can I tell you tonight that we as Christians, even though that I feel that our church is not a legalistic church and we're not all about do's and don'ts, I believe that we are about following God's word, that there's a lot of people out here that are watching you and that are watching me. And there's things that I will do in my life and things that I won't do in my life because I know that people are watching me and they're judging me for my testimony. And they're wanting to know if I'm real or not. The reason that I don't do some things in my Christian life is because I know that I could hinder someone else from coming to know Jesus Christ, or that I could bring a reproach upon Fellowship Baptist Church. And then there's people that are just watching, and it doesn't matter. You can be doing your very best. You can be doing everything that you can do to walk with Christ, and they're just going to watch you so close just to see if they can catch you in a mistake, just to see if they can. You know what? When those people come to you and you feel like that, the only thing that they're doing is see it if they can catch you in a mistake. If that's your goal, was to catch me in a mistake, just keep watching. It'll happen. I'll just go ahead and tell you, it'll happen. You can catch me in a mess up or a mistake. But the people that you know that are in your life that are just watching you, don't let them people make you miserable. Don't let them get on you. Just, okay, man, I'm doing all I can do for God, and if you can't handle it, then go on somewhere else. Don't let those people. But here the Pharisees, I believe that they were watching Jesus. The Bible says, and they watched him. I believe they were waiting to see what he would do in certain circumstances. They wanted to know if he really was what he said he was. Verse number 2, I want you to see what happens. "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers," in other words, the people who were experts in the law, and that would be Moses' law. "And he spake answering, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" Now he's asking them, here's a man that is sick, and Jesus Christ has the power to heal him of his sickness. He knows that he has the ability to take care of this sickness, and yet he looks at the Pharisees and the lawyers, the experts in the law, and says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now, do you think that Jesus was really looking for these people's opinion to do, or their approval to do what he was fixing to do? I don't think that he was looking for their approval at all. He was wanting them to examine themselves for a moment, to look and see what the answer to this question was. Because if you go back, I believe it's in Matthew chapter number 10, there was another place where Jesus was fixing to heal somebody, and the Pharisees looked at him and asked him the question, is it lawful for you to heal on the Sabbath? So now Jesus is fixing to do it, and he looks at the Pharisees and says, is it lawful? And they still don't have the answer for him. They're so legalistic, and they're so religious, and they're so law-abiding people that they're fixing to make a mistake. In verse number 3, Jesus answered and spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. They didn't have an answer. They couldn't say, yes, it's lawful for you to, or no, it's not. They didn't even know. They didn't want to be wrong. They didn't want to give the wrong answer. You know what? Sometimes I think that we don't do things that we should be doing for Christ and for the work of Christ because we're afraid we're going to be wrong. Well, if you do, I tell my guys at work all the time, I said, if you don't ever make a mistake, then you're not doing anything. And there are people who had rather go through life and never do anything than to mess up. Well, that's a big mistake. And if they ever get to the place where we're going along and we can't do anything for the glory of God because we think we're going to mess up. Well, you know what? I get up here every Sunday and I try to preach. And when, like I've told you before, I go back and listen to myself, and I don't know why anybody would listen to me. But I stutter and I stumble. Hey, the other night I told Autumn when I got down from preaching at Fancy Gap one night, I said, I don't know what in the world was wrong with me tonight. She said, what do you mean? I said, I was spitting like a camel up there. I said, it was going, or like a llama. I said, it was going everywhere. Every word I said, and their pews are a lot closer. I was afraid I was going to give somebody a bath. And then there was another night that I come back there and I said, well, I bunted tonight. She said, what do you mean you bunted? I said, I'd done my job, but I didn't hit no double. I said, that wasn't much. And I don't know how many people come out and say, man, that message was just for me. See, it's not up to me and you. It is up to us to give the effort and to do what God leads us to do. But don't worry about what everybody else thinks about what you're doing for God. If you're doing what God has led you to do, and you're doing what you feel in your heart, and you're doing your best to do what God has led you to do, don't worry about what the Pharisees and the lawyers are going to say. Don't worry about what the religious people are going to say. Don't worry about everything else. Hey, I love the fact, you know, we got a group in our church that come and they wear their biker leathers. Y'all noticed those people before, right? And there would be some people, I can't believe it, that people come in, they wear a biker. Hey, that's a ministry that God has given them. They're going to reach people out here at a biker convention or at a dirt bike track or whatever that y'all go to and do your ministry. You're going to reach people there that'll never walk in here. So who am I to say, oh, do's and don'ts, let's not get out there and do those things. Let's not get out there and try to be a witness to someone else. But here the lawyers and the Pharisees, they were so worried about what somebody else would say or being legalistic. They were so worried about religion that they was going to let this guy sit here that had dropsy that Jesus could heal, and they was going to say, oh, I don't know. They was too afraid to even make a decision. Verse number 4, and they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again on these things. They were so worried about being religious that they couldn't answer anything that Christ had asked them. But what I want to look at you right here, and verse number 5, these people, I think they knew for sure the answer was that if their ox or their ass had been in a ditch, that they would have went and got it out of the ditch, that they would have went and rescued a beast, that they would have went and helped something that was helpless. They would have went and helped someone or helped something that had no hope without their help. That they would have went out there and they would have tied ropes around it. They would have to give all the effort in the world because that was something that they needed. That was something that brought maybe income into their family. That was something that helped provide for their family. And they would have went out there and they would have done anything in the world for this beast. But to answer the question about whether or not Jesus could help somebody on the Sabbath, they wasn't willing to answer that. Well, you know what? I think sometimes that we're a lot more willing and we're a lot more desiring to do things that help us in this world than we are for something or someone that is helpless and hopeless and lost without Jesus Christ. That there's times in our life that we'll say, yeah, we got to get out here and we got to do this. I don't care if it's Sunday. I don't care. And I'm just using Sunday because they were talking about the Sabbath here. But we'll go out and we'll do something that will bring us some kind of gain or some kind of pleasure or some kind of enjoyment in this life. And we'll do whatever it takes to do that. Last Saturday, I'll give you me for an example. Last Saturday, we had to be in Pulaski, Virginia at 8 o'clock to play a softball game. My daughter's game, how in the world they start softball at 8 o'clock in the morning? That beats me. That's ridiculous. And I'll still say it this morning. But you know what? Instead, if it had been church, I'd have said, that's ridiculous. I'm not getting up at no 5 o'clock in the morning to go to church. But you know what? At 5 o'clock in the morning or shortly thereafter, about 5:30, I got my hind end out of the bed and I got all the stuff in the car and we loaded up and we drove to Pulaski, Virginia to go play softball all day. Now, would you get up on a Saturday morning at 5 o'clock and get your hind end out of bed and load the car and plan to stay all day to go listen to God's word? Oh, that just hurt me. If I had called you tonight and said, we're still going to have church, and I don't know if you can tell or not, but the AC's running tonight. But let's say it was 100 degrees outside. Let's say that it was just miserable outside, and I called you and said, look, the air condition is not working at church. It's going to be hot, it's going to be sticky, it's going to be miserable, and we're going to stay for about 4 hours. I'm going to preach, the choir's going to sing. Would we put forth the same effort to come and get something from God? Would we put forth the same effort to come and be able to see that someone else finds help in Jesus Christ? Because you know what? This summer, when it's about 100 degrees, we'll get up and we'll load the car and we'll drive to a softball tournament and we'll stay all day in 100 degrees and we'll come home about 10 o'clock that night and we'll be wore out. Now, we'll get up and come to church the next day. But now I just wonder if we'd put forth that same kind of effort to go to church. Would we put forth that same kind of effort if we knew that there was somebody that needed Jesus Christ, that we have the power? Now listen, I know that we can't save people, but we can point people to the cross of Christ. We can take them and we can show them in God's word. If God really put somebody on your heart that absolutely needed help from God, would we put forth the same kind of effort to help those people as we do the things that bring us enjoyment in our life? Or as we would someone that brings, or something that brings income into our life? Hey, some of you that are salesmen, some of you that do different kinds of things, and I know that I'm a salesman, I sell plumbing parts. Most of the time when people come to me, they already have a need. Now, some of you are salesmen, and you're trying to, you know people have a need for something, but you'll just keep calling them and calling them. Hey, I know that you need this. You might not know that you need this, but you really need this, and I want to sell you a product. And I don't mean to be picking on insurance agents, but I just am tonight, okay? And you'll say, hey, I know that you need this, and you may not know that you need this, but you'll keep on and on, and you keep until they finally say, okay, I give up. I'll listen to you. Come on, give me your spiel. Tell me what I need. Help me with this, because I really do know that I need this. I may not know how much, you know what, this lost and dying world don't know how much they need Jesus Christ. And we got the best thing in the world. I hope I never need my life insurance policy, but I've got one. I hope I never, Autumn is probably ready to cash it in, but I hope I never need it, but if I do, I've got a life insurance policy. But now listen, this lost and dying world, they need Jesus Christ, and they may not even know they need Jesus Christ, but you know what we'll do? We'll go to them one time and say, hey, won't you come to church with me? Uh-uh. Okay, and we're done. Because there's no personal gain there for us. Because there's no, hey, there would be enjoyment in it if we got to see them to come to know Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is this. Look, these Pharisees and these lawyers, they couldn't answer Christ about whether or not he should heal somebody that he had the power to heal. They couldn't answer him about whether, just because it's a Sabbath day, see, they was looking for an excuse, or there was an excuse there. There was a reason there, even maybe. And a lot of times when we know that Christ or that God is speaking to our hearts and he's leading us in a direction, we'll find an excuse, we'll find a reason to not do what God wants us to do. These guys were religious. These guys were lawyers, and they knew that the Sabbath day you weren't supposed to do any work. So they was like, well, we can't even answer God. We don't know. We're afraid to be wrong. Well, I want to tell you what. I've messed up a whole lot of things in this world. I've messed up. I've made bad decisions, poor decisions. I've made a lot of mistakes. And I want to say this, that I live through it. And I believe that if I make a mistake doing my best to follow God's leadership and do things, I believe I'll live through it. And I believe I'll grow through it. And I believe that God will help me through whatever that I'm going through. I'd rather make a mistake for God any day of the week than to make a mistake trying to do something for myself out here in the world. But he says, which of you shall have an ass or an ox falling into a pit? Now, he's getting down to where the rubber meets the road here. Something that's important to him. See, this guy, he had the dropsy, and I'm not really even sure what the dropsy is. I read on it just a little bit this afternoon. But this guy, he had this dropsy, and Christ had the ability to heal him. But if Christ didn't heal this guy with dropsy, it really wasn't going to affect their life a whole lot. they was going to go on about their business. They was going to do what they normally do. They was just going to keep on going. If he healed them, it wasn't going to change their life a whole lot. And they was going to be happy for the guy. They was going to be excited to see that Jesus Christ made a difference in him, but it really wasn't going to affect their life a whole lot. But now when he got down to whether your donkey or your ox is in the ditch, when it got down to that and he got down to where, well, what if it was something that was precious to you? What if it was something that brought you joy, that brought you income, that was really important to you? Would you do it on this day? And again, they didn't answer because they were ashamed at this point in time, because they realized that they probably would have given the wrong answer the first time because they were being legalistic. But you know what? I think sometimes that we as Christians, we have got so comfortable in our own salvation, in our own personal relationship with God, and that's great. I am so 100% sure that I'm saved. There's no possible way you could ever talk me out of it. There's no possible way that you could ever convince me that I'm not. And I'm so sure of my salvation tonight. I'm not so sure about Lynn's, but I'm so sure about my salvation tonight that there's nothing in the world that you could do for me, against me, to talk me out of that. And I'm so happy with my salvation. I'm joyful with my salvation. But sometimes I think I get so focused that, okay, me and my wife and my three kids, we're saved. And some people around me that are really close to me, they're saved. And I forget that there's still people lost, dying, and going to hell every single day. I've got comfortable in me and mine. I've got comfortable in my church family. I've got comfortable with what God's doing here. And instead of saying, we can do more, because you know what? This is tough, and it shouldn't be like this for us as Christians. If the guy here that's doing dope tonight gets saved, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but if he gets saved, it really don't affect my life a whole lot. Don't affect my salvation. It don't affect my income. It doesn't affect anything else. If he don't get saved, it don't affect my life, my income. But you want to know something? It will definitely affect where he spends eternity. And instead of being so concerned all about me all the time, I need to realize that there are people that need Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's good to be sure and comfortable with your salvation, but realize that not everybody else is. Look, let's keep reading just a little bit more and we'll be done. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. He says, in other words, if you're invited to a supper at a wedding, he said, you don't go sit in the most important seat. He says, because you go sit in the most important seat, he said, somebody that's a little more important than you may come along, and the guy that invited you both may come to you and say, hey, you need to leave. This more important man needs to sit down where you are. Now, I read that verse of scripture because the Bible specifically instructs us to put other people ahead of ourselves. And when we get so concerned about us and we get so just so happy with our salvation that we're not concerned about anybody else's salvation, then we're out of place with God. Just to put it bluntly, we're out of alignment with God. We're in a place that God's not going to be able to use us the way that he should, because we're concerned so much with ourselves and so much with me and mine that we're not concerned about a lost and a dying world. I know this is not a hallelujah message tonight, and I'm sorry. Because, I mean, it kicked me right between the teeth, too. It was one of those things that, you know, I'm super excited about what God's doing in our church. I'm super happy with being at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I'm glad we are who we are. I mean, I'm telling you what, when we can come to church and I don't feel like people judge me whether I wear a tie or don't wear a tie, and people could care less about some different things that are considered legalistic. I believe that we have the best place in the world to go to church, and I'm so excited about that. But I believe that we, as a body of believers, I believe that we have a concern for our church. And I think it's great to see some people that maybe left this place during some troubling times, to see them come back and come back into the family. And man, that's so exciting. And to look in the balcony and see people that hadn't been here in a long time, and to look maybe around the church and say, hey, man, I'm glad that family is back in here. And all of that's wonderful and all of that's great. And we should have a concern for that. But our biggest concern should be the people who are still lost and don't know Jesus Christ. I'm tickled to death when we invite people that used to be here and they show up. I'm tickled to death that somebody may come back and join the family. Because if they're out of church altogether, then probably their relationship with God is getting colder anyway. But our main focus and our main concern should be to go out into the highways and the hedges. If you keep reading this, you can get into some of that scripture too. He talks about not inviting people who can do something for you. And he's talking about inviting to this wedding supper, not inviting the people who can pay you back, and not inviting the rich and not inviting the famous, but to go out in the highways and the hedges and to invite the ones who are blind and invite the ones who are lame and invite the ones that are poor. We, as a body of believers, I believe with all my heart, and some of y'all probably got a bigger desire than I do. Y'all pray for me that I'll have a desire for the lost like I've not had in a long time. Pray for me that I won't get focused on the church doing good so much as I do knowing that people are coming that need Jesus Christ and giving them the gospel and praying for them and going out and inviting people that need to know Jesus Christ. Y'all pray for me that I'll be in the right place at the right time and that I won't worry about do's and don'ts and I won't worry about failing and I won't worry about making a mistake, that I'll go out and I'll invite people that I know that are lost. It's easy to invite people that you like. Listen, I invited, there's a little guy that works for me. I say little guy, he's bigger than me probably, but he's a young guy. And I was inviting him to church and he said, "Hey, send me the address to your church." And he said it right in the middle of a work day one day, and I went up to my office and absolutely forgot to send him the address to the church. So Monday morning when I come in, it was a couple of Monday mornings ago, I said, "Where was you at, man? I thought you was coming." And he said, "Well, you never send me the address." Now, take into consideration that this dude, we can be talking about anything, and he can pull out Google Earth and find anything in the world that he wants to find, but he couldn't find Fellowship Baptist Church. But see, he used me and my lack of thought to send him the address for an excuse not to come to church. You know, that should have been the most important thing on my list that day when he looked at me and said, "Send me the address." Nothing else should have mattered. I had an opportunity to be able to say, "I sent you the address. Where were you at?" But instead, three phone calls came and two people come into the office and this happened and that happened. And phew, there it went. Never thought of it again. Granted, if he really wanted to be here, he could have found a way to be here. But I want to do my part to point others to the cross. I want to do my part to help others see their need for Jesus Christ. Let's pray for each other as a body of believers, as a church family, that we'll enjoy everything that God's doing here, that we'll enjoy family that's coming back, that we'll enjoy family that we're with every Sunday, but let's pray that we'll all have a desire for the lost in our community the way that we should. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I thank you for these verses of scripture, God, and even though they wore me out tonight, God, I want to thank you and praise you for speaking to my heart. God, I pray that you'll help me, God, as we go from day to day, that, yeah, there's a lot of things that are important to us, God, but the most important thing should be looking for opportunities to tell others about Christ, to point lost people to Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you'll help me, that that'll be more important, that my desire will grow, that the ministries that we have here, God, that will be the main focus of that. God, thank you for what you're doing in fellowship, and thank you for the spirit that's been in our services. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just bring lost people here, and that when they're here, God, that they'll hear your sweet, small voice, and they'll come and accept you before it's everlasting too late. Again, I want to thank you for my family here. God, I pray that you'll just help us all to be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.